Again, appreciate everyone being here today. Continuing our class on the church. Let's begin thinking about the local church. The local church. Well, tell me something about it. Who's it composed of? Christians. Okay. And these Christians are doing what? Or what have they agreed to? Work together. All right. And in that working together, because it's a local implies what? Same area, location, one location. All right. And not the people might not necessarily live there, but their location for meeting is one spot. Does a local congregation, local church, local group, does it, in this agreement that you have to work and worship together, does it also include in that common oversight? Yes. Does it include in that a common treasury? Yes. All right. Now, when you've done this agree to be part of this work and worship with one another, of the Christians, and you committed yourself, pledged yourself, who knows about that? That commitment you made?
The Lord.
There it is. The Lord and God. All right? So when you make pledges and agreements and that sort of thing, remember, God's listening. God knows. So let's try to fulfill those agreements that we make, those commitments that we make. And the one here is to the work in the local congregation. So Saturday night's here. And I've done the agreement to work with a local congregation. So what am I thinking about? Saturday night, I'm thinking about something the next day, aren't I? What would that be? Say again?
Worshiping together.
Okay. I'm thinking of that commitment I made to work and worship. And there's some verses that deal with treating this as a team that we've agreed to play with, all right? A team we need to be a part of. So this team, you committed to be part of the team of being a member of the local congregation. So what does that imply if there's a team?
We each have a part to play in that, the way we're doing the work we're doing.
That's
serving, and we have duties to prepare our minds, you know, mm-hmm. for that, and be ready the next day when the Lord they come, that we're ready. Our lamps have all the oil in them we need.
Yes, yes. Can you imagine a professional player, sports player, who signed a contract to be part of the team, okay, committed himself to that, and he doesn't show up for practice, doesn't show up for the games, or every other game, a once-a-month game, what would you think? Is he committed to it? See? So those are things to think about for each of us as we think about being a member of this local congregation here. Of course, the assembly that we have on Sundays. Now, I want to start. Any comments on that? Good, good. All right, let's start on page 9, 13. Where we left off last time. And number B. What does the Church of Christ teach about the purpose of baptism? Answer, the Church teaches that baptism for the remission of sins. You agree or disagree? If in this we're looking at here is where's the authority resting? Church's people, right? Okay. Where's the authority for determining the of Christ part?
God's word.
It's God's word, exactly. Okay, it's not the church that determine that, do we? See, all right. So there's authoritative relationship to what's being taught and God. And that authority always rests with God. We just implement it, don't we? We research it. We look at it. All right? But we don't change it. We don't have the authority to do that. So, as opposed to some religious groups, okay, that may vote on things, all right, and change. So, with that in mind, when we look at this purpose of baptism and this, you could say any other items in there too. When we think about that, you think sometimes that they developed a creed. I know Baptists have a Baptist manual, Hiscox, I think it is, the Westminster Confession of Faith, and other groups have those kind of things to list, okay, things that they believe in that group. It's in here, but they write something else. Yes, sir?
Well, the modern-day ways of doing it is they make their own Bible, which conforms to their doctrine.
Yes. Yes. Yeah, there's some groups do produce their own Bible, okay? And the footnotes are quite numerous sometimes when they do that. Exactly right. That helps with the presentation, doesn't it, if they change the words in the book? Yes, sir. Yes, ma'am.
I think part of the problem here is an issue of terminology. We are in the habit of saying the church teaches. The church doesn't teach anything. It's the Word of God that teaches, and it's like saying the church is a building.
Yeah. You hear that comments? Lauren was saying, it's like, is it true that the church teaches? No, the church doesn't teach. We get Scripture teaches. Scripture. All the source. The inspiration is not in ourselves. The inspiration is in the Scriptures. And that's where all the doctrine comes from. Yes?
Well, we do teach it, but yeah. We get it from the right source.
Yeah. Again, we have common beliefs in a local congregation. That's right. Okay? But where is the source of those? So, and as I mentioned a minute ago, when you deal with so-called creeds, these Westminster and Baptists, like I mentioned, those things sort out their beliefs. They list their beliefs. So to be part of this, you've got to adhere to those. Steve, what if you think about, say you move one congregation, say Highlands, then you move to here. That this group would have given you a list of things. That this is what Church of Christ, okay, believes and teaches. Well, is that approaching that sort of thing of a creed, or how would you deal with that? What's your thoughts about that when you meet with those people?
They probably wouldn't let me meet with them in the first place because I wouldn't agree to sign their creed. It's happening all over the country right now.
Yeah.
Todd McAdams ran into it, Coy Baldwin ran into it, talked to a church about going to work with them. They'll send them a list of questions, and before they'll even talk to them, they've got to answer these questions according to their satisfaction. So what it is essentially is the church in the written creed.
Yes. Yes. Everyone hear that? We've experienced here in the last few months, okay? Last year, these questionnaires, these statements, that this is before you deal with us, you got to answer and adhere to these. So that's a thing that we need to watch out for. Now, is that not a teaching moment sometimes? If they let you meet with them, and I'm going to talk about the creeds. I'm going to talk about these questions you have. In that approach, in the approach for that, is that not a teaching moment?
If they're giving you the opportunity.
That's right.
Todd tried to do that with a church. I won't say where it's at. He said, let's sit down and talk about it. He said, no, not until you answer the question.
Yes.
So it's interesting, though. They probably don't even ask their own teachers to answer the question. And I imagine when somebody wants to join the fellowship, I doubt they give them a list of questions.
Correct. Correct. Did the Corinthian church have problems?
Yes.
Did they have a problem dealing with a limit on who's going to be resurrected? Yes, they did. All right? In chapter 15. Well, how was that dealt with? Let me rephrase that. Teaching of the Apostle Paul, wasn't it? Okay? And in that teaching, he wrote it for them, and they had that letter with them, and they could see inspiration in front of them from the apostle. Well, he writes of the commandments of the Lord. So that teaching went on to deal with correction of that. In the past here, there was a question concerning AD 70. And that's where Jesus came back in AD 70. Okay? And that was a thing going around. So how do you deal with that? Do you say, you're out of here? Or do you try to reason and teach with the individual? As Steve said, Todd tried to talk to this group. Okay? And they wouldn't talk. That's another animal. If you can't teach much if you can't get a hearing. But always, always, you can differ on items. But the way to deal with it is to teach. And guess what? You may learn from the other person. Who knows? Okay? That happens. Do we all have the same exact beliefs? The creed would produce that. But we do. We vary, don't we? So there's things to think about as we think about number B. Any other thoughts?
Well, you have things that are opinions. You know, a lot of people have different opinions. But if you're going by what the Word says, you should be agreeing on what the Word says. God's
yes.
Word.
Yes.
You know, you have your own ideas about a lot of things and your own opinions, but you don't find those on the congregation, on the church. You don't provide a church over your idea, your opinion.
And the correction of these items is, again, by teaching. All right? By teaching. Whether it's head coverings or whatever it is, you deal with issues. All right. Now, and again, we all have common issues. Being here working and worshiping together. And the next one, number C, he is a true Church of Christ preacher. What's the, you agree or disagree? Or what would be the characteristic of a true Church of Christ preacher? As a gospel preacher, we use those terms as more descriptive. I used to hear when I went to meetings, and then you listen to old tapes, you would hear the gospel preachers always at the end put the five steps of salvation. And I'm sure some of y'all have heard that also. That's a Church of Christ preacher. All right? And things to think about sometimes and what we portray. Now, is it right to do that? Sure, it's good to do that. All right? You know, when even here sometimes on our Wednesday night invitations, maybe there's not an invitation after that, okay, to come forward. Well, that's not wrong. That's not wrong. Okay? But if that's what the Church of Christ wants you to do, I don't know what that is. Then we need to think about that. So that's kind of the relevancy of that question there. All right. Indeed, we all need to be more faithful to the what? What do you think's meant there, faithful to the church? How about faithful to the Lord? And the church is people. Can we be faithful to? Can I be faithful to you and my things I say to you? Yes. Okay. And things I'm willing to do to help one another? Sure, you can. Yes, sir?
Sorry, I know I'm a visitor here, but we're actually doing the same class Wednesday night, like a very similar topic, it seems. Being faithful to the church is the same way, I would explain that as the same way that Christ is faithful to the church, that it's his bride. So in the same way that we are faithful to one another as the body of the church, making sure that we are faithful to one another, to make sure that we are taking care of one another, bearing one another's burdens, loving one another, forgiving one another, all those one another things as well, without minimizing the value of the church over the individual.
Okay.
So often you
years, though, when people have fallen away, even good-meaning people who use text will say, you need to get back to church, instead of, you need to get back to serving the Lord, you know. And so they put more value on whatever this church, you know, the assembly, serving, you know, one another, whatever. But that's the terminology should be, you need to get back to serving the Lord as part of the body, you know, but serving the Lord as a saint.
And the consequences of serving the Lord is serving one another, doing the things that Christ approves, God smiles on. Now,
but they're using this church, I think, here and in that comment to mean that it's an organization that you need to get back to and to be a part of, instead of Christ's body.
And consequently, if they're viewing it as a body in the church, then this idea is, well, if I'm part of the local congregation, I'm saved. I can blend out of that, as opposed to one's individual status before God and Christ.
Hey, Doug.
Yes, sir.
I don't know if I would say that we need to be faithful to the comment that was made about being faithful as, you know, by serving one another in the sense of, forgiving one another. I think that's more so our duty to forgive one another, to love one another. I don't know if I would rest that upon being faithful. I think that's more so of our duties, which God requires for us to do, is to forgive, to love, and but to be faithful to God. So I don't know if I would say that would be a sense of faithfulness.
Certainly, as was mentioned earlier, the visitor, that being faithful, Christ being faithful to the church, okay, is without flaw and error. But can our faithfulness, our duty to others, okay, have flaws and errors? Yes, so they're not, right? No. And can not our faith motivate us? Yes, yes. Yes. All right. The next one on C, in the Restoration Movement, the church was restored. As we mentioned a little bit at the first of the class about Campbell and Stone, those individuals. But is the Restoration Movement, y'all have heard of the Restoration Movement? All right. Historical, happened in the mid-1850s, late-1850s. Now, what do you think is meant by the church was restored? Did the universal church go anywhere?
No. It
always is. Always is. What do you think is meant by that?
It's like an organization, you see, so they're trying to say.
Well, that's what people who are using that sentence now would be saying. A lot of the people who were in that movement back then thought they were restoring
What their idea is, they're restoring concepts that were in Scripture. People had got away from those concepts which we're talking about now, the church and those many things, all right? So they got away from that, so they're trying to restore the concepts, okay, get back on the paths. And that's good, but if I call myself a restoration church, is that kind of mixes things a little bit, all right? Back to the Bible. That's a good term.
That was one of the problems, I think, with that movement later on, was that they didn't come that way. That rather than trying to, small r, restore people to the work, you know, to the word, to the actual true concept, they began to become a movement and let people, and did it.
I'm not being super critical here of using the word restoration and that sort of thing. Because because, and would you be here today in this assembly?
Probably not.
Just a thought. All right. All right. F. All of Brother and Sister Smith's children raised in the church. Agree? What's it kind of mean? They came to church with you. All right, they're raised in the church. All right, and they heard things. See, that's kind of the idea, isn't it? When you hear those terms, okay? Raised meaning in age, they're growing up. When they get in high school, and somebody asks them, "Are you in the church?" Well, yeah, I've been a long time. Good. Could muddy the water a little bit. Okay, understanding. All right. Now, so we need to be careful with that, but it's still, understand it. Okay. And again, I'm not being critical on this. Okay, but they're just kind of clean up our language a little bit sometimes. Yes, ma'am.
Yeah, I need to clearly understand what you're saying. The terminology raised in the church means when people say that.
Yeah, what I'm thinking raised in the church is probably the idea that they've been coming to the assemblies. Mm-hmm. Coming to the assemblies, okay? They've heard things. Yes, sir.
Since I wrote these things, let me explain what I had in my mind.
All right.
Sometimes it's kind of hard to figure out what another guy wrote. Sometimes I don't even know why I wrote it. But anyway, the term church and these ones that you've been looking at represent the concept that the church represents a code of belief raised in the church. They were taught back there for their issue of sin. They were taught no instrumental music. Why are they going over there to the Baptist church now? Because they were raised in the church. They were taught these doctrines that the church, quote unquote, the Church of Christ has. What's happened to them? That's the mistaken way of using the term church, as if the term church codifies doctrine. It does not. Same thing with a true Church of Christ preacher. You made reference to the fact of offering the invitation. Years ago, I was visiting in the home of two people, good people, Christians. He was lamenting the fact that preachers didn't always give the five-step plan of salvation, because that's what Church of Christ preachers do. And so he had in his mind, and when people use it that way, just like on question A, the question is, what do you mean by Church of Christ? Universal? You mean the local? Here's what they probably mean. The denomination, Church of Christ, composed of churches that teach these set of beliefs. So raised in the church, man, you were taught that you take the Lord's Supper on Sunday. What are you doing over there taking it on Thursday? Anyway, I know my statements are not real clear.
You were raised without instruments in worship. Well, what's the difference? Unless you deal with Scripture, okay, as your basis, not just attendance and seeing. All right. But if it's built into you that you look for book, chapter, and verse, or you look to the Scriptures, okay, to deal with a certain teaching or doctrine, because that's where the authority lies. It's not with us. It's not with us. We're here to implement that if we can. All right. Good points. Good points. John married in the church. What's that mean? How about
believing, by common use, they were married in the church building. On the other hand, it may mean, as is commonly said, among Catholics, and maybe others, but especially Catholics, you were married in the church, that is, under the oversight
and the doctrines and the dogmas.
In many ways, control of the Catholic Church. So it depends. Neither one of them, not that either one of those statements is valid in the sense that that's the way people use them, but certainly they aren't having reference in either case to universal or local.
Exactly right. Exactly right. And another point could be married in the church. Well, I married a Christian. Is that what you're going to say? Yeah. Okay. So just things to think about as we use our speech, because our speech reflects we're thinking in it, our mind. Now, sometimes we get our words mixed up. Everyone does that. All right? But we need to think about our speech, especially if we're communicating others. We certainly want another person that we may be talking to understand where we're from and where we're going. Okay? And that's how teaching comes to the forefront in that. All right. Of course, we know the church needs to be painted. Is that wrong to say that? The church needs to be painted? We're going to have a paint job pretty soon on the building here. Is that wrong?
Are you painting all the people?
In today's dictionary, in today's language, not back there in the first century, okay, is it valid to say that today, in a sense? Yeah. Yeah. You're all the time. All right? It's more accurate. Just and is it a big deal? Are you going to set them down and get after them? All right, when they say that, you don't know what you're talking about. Church is people. Are we going to do that? It may be. And it says it's an opportunity. Yes, but let's put some salt on it. All right, when we deal with that. Yes, sir.
If you were probably to pull out your Oxford Dictionary of English Language Compact Edition, I got from a book forever ago, it would probably tell you that the original word for church probably did mean the building. So, a lot of it is a valid English translation of the word. The trouble is that it is not the word that's in the scriptures. The word is almost always going to be that ecclesia, which means the assembly. So, if you look out in the English dictionary, you pull open this one, say the building. And may even have that as the number one definition of the word.
What does ecclesia collect?
Anything.
Yes. Anything. All right. People. So qualifiers on that word church. Why do we have church of God? Why do we have church of Christ? Of Christ Jesus? Of the firstborn? Why do we have those qualifiers? To define the characteristics of the group, don't we? Okay. We do it all the time. All right. Can you imagine? Just say, let's go to a meeting. What does that mean? Let's go with a group. You need to define it, don't you? See, we do it all the time. All right? If you're in business, you really have to. Got times and dates and places. All right. Now, and I, there's a, and these, from a tract. Tracts are good. Yeah.
I was just going to say, not so much a question, but we were talking about comments were being made about educating others. By us being more conscious of how we phrase things, that could be an unspoken moment of education when we are talking to others. I have had conversations with people of different denominations. And by me being, instead of saying we worked at the church over the weekend doing maintenance, we worked at the building where we assembled doing maintenance. and you see their moment of, a light bulb goes off. When just by, instead of breaking it down, because a lot of times you don't have time to break it down and say, okay, well, the church is actually people, but we're actually not going to church. We're going to church services, or we're going to Bible study. Just being more conscious of how we phrase things can help educate others when we're talking to them.
And the more you phrase things like that, the more they become automatic to it. Okay? Like I'll say sir and ma'am. I just do it. All right? And it's hard to get kids to do it sometimes. All right? We know that. All right? But you just do that. Now, of course, you want to be careful of things automatic. You lose some of the flavor in them. But the point is, though, clean up our language. And this makes a difference. And we'll see coming up in some of these debates, literature we have, that it can lead to really violations of the word. And that when you start mixing up church and churches, you start dealing with what's gathered and what's not, do you gather churches, do you gather people? All those things deal with that, and it's reflected in our language. And it can lead to errors, violations of Scripture when you start moving into how you spend your money, where you spend your time, right? What a congregation does as a group. See? So there's things to understand with that. So errors can result, and you can stray far from the path. And once you start straying down the path, all right, where does it end? All right? Start with small steps, and the steps get bigger and bigger. And consequently, you see errors. You get to a point, well, we did that before. Why can't we do this now? Well, okay. Then you move forward from there. And all of a sudden, you've got the Unitarian Church where everybody's saved, no matter what you do, how you act. All right? Yes,
in the younger days, we used to talk about that the church is divided, you know, and religion is divided. Look at all the religions. We talk about 100 different religions. Now it's 1,000 different religions.
Yes. Yes.
Now it's 100,000 different religions. I get 12.
Well, that goes to the point of free will, doesn't it? Okay? And the idea, where does our interest lie? Our interest is lie in the hereafter. The Scriptures plainly talk about that over and over. Scriptures tell us what we need to do and how we need to act, how we need to work with one another. It's there. As the Lord's commandments. And you can choose one way or another to do that. Now, and these words coming up here, and I, and I studied the term church and churches. The bait man wrote this because in quotes. In our study of the term church and churches are used interchangeably. They are so used in the New Testament, Acts 9:31, use it to refer to the same universal body, 1 Corinthians 14:33. Does it? If you look at 1 Corinthians 14:33, that's referring to an assembly there. An assembly of a local congregation. And Acts 9:31 is, we've been over this before, the word church is used there. They use churches over 1433. And what's interesting about that is that they associated the two with the word peace. Peace. I haven't read those. I didn't read them, but you can read those verses. And I said, well, it must be the same then. It must be the same or interchangeable. Well, it's not. Okay? It's not. And no more than when you could take Jesus, you know, as a Prince of Peace. And or you deal with, did he come to bring peace? Well, peace is not a word that joins two things together. No more. They said church and church is the same. So just things to think about as you get in discussions. Now, in Romans 16:16, the next part of that verse is used to include many, all, individual congregations. Where is it in Scripture where congregations are grouped? Nowhere. You see churches, yes. Individual churches. individual churches. So be aware of that distinction when you're looking at the different verses in the way you talk. Now, in J, a local church and universal church are as much a part of each other as individual cell, the body. If you read this, he used a couple of analogies that are not in Scripture. One's concerning the cell and one's concerning Israel, ancient Israel. Now, are the churches of Christ the churches of Christ? The church of Christ. Are the churches of Christ the church of Christ? I mentioned in my opening first lesson, that in Scripture it's always the individual is being viewed. Always the individual. It never collects churches, groups of people. And I dealt with the idea, and the first was Shell Oil Company, and it usually put a circle in that Shell Oil Company, and then individual, there's service stations inside of it. Well, that may be good for Shell Oil Company in a business, but because of Scripture, it's not that way. You've got to save people, and they associate one with another. That's it. All right. That's the concept we've been over. All right. Now, and again, it's debate with Robert Turner. That's not his position that I'm talking about. It's the other man's position. In K, what do you think about Church of Christ Radio? Good intentions. Let's broadcast as much as we can to as many people as we can. Hopefully save as many as we can. Good intentions, sometimes contrary to Scripture. What's been revealed it has. So think about that as you think about radio station. Now, and the last part there, you can do that. The idea of marking U's for universal and L for local. And the last part of that first one, these Christians, as they were later called, became the Church of Christ. Those called out of the world and called into the service of Jesus. Well, they became what? These Christians became universal, didn't they? Become saved, part of the saved, body of the saved. All right? And then in that not a denomination, the Church of Christ is not a denomination. Yeah. What? All right. Think about that. And the Church of Christ, Romans 16:16, follows the New Testament in its doctrine. They were doing good. Church of Christ following the New Testament for its doctrine. Well, that went singular, didn't it? So all of a sudden they're collecting congregations versus people. And then in the last part, the worship of the Church of Christ is simple and spiritual. Men officiate each part of the worship just as done during New Testament times. All right? Worship of the church is simple and spiritual. Depends how you do it. You know, sometimes I'm thinking as I go through this course, sometimes if I'm writing, I'm really tempted to put local, okay, or universal, or some kind of clarifies in front of it sometimes. I've got to be careful of that. But especially when I'm talking, think about that. All right? Now, that was lesson one. We're going to start lesson two. Stay on track on my schedule. All right? May seem like a long time on one here. We're not going to retire on it. We don't have a 6-month, 1-year course on this. But distinction, universal, and local. Well, we've been doing distinction on universal and local. But here we're diving down to these two. And we want to deal with, again, concepts, clarifying points, dealing with work and worship and oversight and that sort of thing. So in a lot of it's going to be a little repeat, but we're going to go through these. Now, and these are 10 characteristics, or maybe more. Entrance. Well, somebody tell me how you enter the universal church. We know, don't we? Where's our verse?
Acts 2:47.
Who added Christians? Lord did, didn't he? Okay. Do I know people's hearts? Truly? Well, maybe, maybe not. But the Lord doesn't make mistakes. When someone, again in Acts chapter 2 and beyond that, when they say, I believe Jesus the Christ, the Son of God, I'm going to repent of my sins. And I'm going to keep on believing. Will you save me? And then be baptized. That's what it says in Scripture. That's what it says in Scripture. Now, so God adds 247. B part, 1B. Local men receive. Now, in Acts 9, it's interesting. Okay? And who's in Acts 9? That wants to be a part of a congregation? In Jerusalem, by the way. All right? Now, in Acts 9, how had Paul been treating people? Well, when he was Saul. More than terrible. Dragging him out of the house, up for execution. Problems. He's going to stamp out the church. All right? So, do you want this man in your congregation? Taking names where you live? All right? So they questioned, I don't know if we ought to be in Jerusalem or not, but he got some help on that, Barnabas. So who controls this entrance to a local church? People do, don't they? You and I. You and I. And so can we make errors? We make errors in judgment, can't we? But we do the best we can. All right? So we deal with that. All right. Then Apollos 18:27. We're going to look at that. That's a good one there. We'll begin at number 2 next time. We'll move to 2. Thank you very much. Thank you very much.